Investment flash.
Oil plunges on an Iran peace deal, and suddenly the war premium is a memory. But the bond market still can't make up its mind. We're breaking it all down right now.
It's Monday, May 25th, 2026, and this is the New York edition of Investment Flash. I'm Marie, joined by Tom and Gerald.
So, Marie, that watch oil signal from yesterday's London edition, I don't think anyone was expecting it to be a watch it plummet kind of day.
Right? The tightest supply in years, and then boom, peace headlines and every long liquidates at once.
Yeah, look, the crude move was violent. The US oil fund down another 1.1% last session, 5.6% on the week. Energy stocks dragged the Energy Select Sector ETF down with it.
And the thing is, the positioning was so crowded. CTAs just unwound mechanically. There's your air pocket under the war premium.
Hold on, but isn't there a flip side? If peace reduces inflation pressure, that could let the Fed ease, right? Bonds should be rallying.
Well, that's the debate. Bloomberg came out arguing yields will stay high even if the Iran war ends. Structural stuff. Fiscal profligacy. Deglobalization.
Wait, so oil crashes and bonds don't catch a bid? That's counterintuitive.
BlackRock's out there saying the opposite. They see sufficient factors for a cut, especially under new chair Warsh.
So you've got long-duration treasuries sitting just 8% above their 52-week low. The short-duration trade is incredibly stretched. If BlackRock's right, that short squeeze would be brutal.
Exactly. The risk in bonds is to the upside right now, no matter what the structural bears say.
But Tom, the structural bears have a point. Yields could stay high for years. The policy put is fading everywhere.
All right, speaking of things that aren't coming back, let's talk UK lending. The FT reports business lending at a 30-year low.
A 30-year low? What, are they lending like it's 1996 and the Spice Girls just dropped Wannabe?
Huh, fair enough.
All right, I'll hold off on the nostalgia. But seriously, Lloyds and Barclays are heavily exposed. Lloyds trades at 1.2 times book. But if loan growth is dead, that multiple doesn't hold.
And it's not just cyclical. Tighter regulation is choking SME lending. Structural headwind for the UK economy.
Gerald, you've been banging the UK macro drum. Is this the cue to short the banks?
Look, mate, I wouldn't jump in front of a freight train, but both Lloyds and Barclays had nice bounces last week. Might be an opportunity to fade that.
All right, switching gears. I'm going to push back on the doom and gloom, because there's a bright spot. China AI.
Yes! Morgan Stanley is overweight Tencent and Alibaba, and these names are absolutely wrecked, down 30 and 16% year-to-date.
But retail sales were the weakest since COVID. Is AI really going to save Chinese equities?
That's the bet. The Gavekow manager on CNBC said AI is the cleanest theme to ride out macro volatility. And at these prices, a lot of bad news is priced in.
To be fair, that's a classic bad news priced in setup. If the AI narrative gains traction, the re-rate could be fierce.
All right, I'll give you that. But I'm still watching those bond yields before I touch any growth name.
And speaking of structural squeezes, the gambling sector is getting crushed. The FT says short sellers made over $2.3 billion betting against them.
Wait, shorting gambling was the safest bet? That's a meta trade if I've ever heard one.
I'm almost impressed. DraftKings down nearly 30% year to date. Prediction markets are eating their lunch in the US.
And UK tax rises are hitting Flutter. The regulatory risk is real. This isn't just a growth scare.
So the sports betting ETF down 11.9%, and the headwinds aren't going away. Hard pass.
But, and here's where I turn less gloomy, not all energy is getting crushed. CNBC highlighted some dividend monsters.
Energy Transfer, 6.7% yield, just raised their distribution. TD Cowen raised target to $23. It's barely off its 52-week high.
and Chevron yielding 3.7%, with Wells Fargo reiterating a $222 target. That's a pullback entry.
Yeah, Chevron is down 11% from its high. At 3.7% yield, I can stomach that. Williams Companies too, 2.7% yield, UBS target $91.
This is income from the energy patch, not levered to the oil price. It's the cleanest way to play the rotation.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's the whole play.
All right, but let's not ignore the cash-rich names Wolf Research screened. Deckers Outdoor, 12% net cash ratio. Stock up 12.7% last week on earnings.
What happened? Did they cure shoe leather? That's a massive move.
Earnings beat, apparently. But the point is the cash cushion provides downside protection, and it's still below its 52-week high.
Okta's my pick here. 15% cash ratio, 21.8 times forward earnings, up 10% year to date. Growth at a reasonable price with a safety net.
And Airbnb with 11% cash, 20% analyst upside. It's basically flat year to date. So if the consumer holds up, that could run.
But here's the thing. The FT argues the policy put is fading. Investors can't rely on a central bank backstop anymore.
I've been saying this. The S&P 500 is at 28 times trailing earnings and 1% from a record high. The market is priced for perfection, but the safety net is gone.
But if the safety net's gone, why is the VIX at 16.6? That's priced for calm, not panic.
The VIX is up 14.7% year to date. There's nervousness creeping in. And without a policy put, any shock hits harder.
Bloomberg's take on rates was the most original thing today. Yields staying high even if peace breaks out. That's a structural call.
It's the fiscal profligacy and deglobalization argument. The market's not fully pricing in that regime shift.
So we're saying the 40-year bond bull market is definitively over? Come on.
I'm not saying definitively, but it's a compelling case. Position accordingly.
Our view today, this is a rotation, not a correction. Energy leaders are being challenged, and growth could catch a bid if real rates ease.
Fading the consensus energy trade, that's the move. Energy income stocks over outright crude exposure.
And those beaten down China AI names, if peace boosts global risk appetite, the rotation into cheap growth could be fierce.
Totally.
100%.
Nailed it.
One thing nobody's talking about, second order effects of a peace deal. Industrials, materials, logistics, they benefit from post-war rebuilding.
All right. As always, none of this is investment advice. Just three friends talking markets.
We're back tomorrow with the London edition at 7:30 a.m. London time. If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts and sources.
See you then, people.